Good to be in God's house this morning. Hallelujah. So thankful to be part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Going to begin reading at verse number 10. Read several scriptures there and then randomly a few portions of scripture there. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein." Verse 14. "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And verse number 18. "Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto his father, unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Amen. You may be seated again this morning. Praise the Lord. Has anybody in here ever forgot anything? Amen. Case closed, we're all guilty. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's lots of things sometimes we forget. How many's ever forgot to stop at a stop sign? Now, was it forgetfulness or did you just do it? And we'll not go there, but, you know, I mean, sometimes we forget. I have forgotten different times, been driving down the road and my mind is occupied and come up to a stop sign that I know is there, it's been there for years, and it, just right on through. I just ran that stop sign. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You forget things and you know, it's just amazing as our minds become occupied with our daily business or occupied sometimes with our stress or our trials or our troubles. Sister Pepper talked about being occupied this morning and being occupied with the Lord's business and the Lord's work, but yet so many times our mind is occupied with multitudes of things. And then sometimes we forget what it's supposed to be occupied with. And so this morning I want to preach on tie a string around your finger. How many's ever heard that terminology? Everybody understand what that means? Why do you tie a string around your finger? I don't know. I forgot. Yeah, that's just a little saying to tie that string around your finger so it will jog your memory. We use that terminology, jog, which means start it up again. You know, get it thinking what the direction that it's supposed to be thinking. And first of all, when you tie a string around your finger, you will forget why you tied that string to start with. When you get what? Occupied. Occupied with something else. How many write notes so that when you're going to town, you'll not forget everything that you're going for? How many's ever written a grocery list? Nowadays, we have what they call smartphones, but you've got to be smart to run a smartphone. And so I call mine a dumb phone because that way I can operate it. Amen. Hallelujah. But we can type notes on there, and I've done that. And if Sister Pepper needs something from the store and I'm in town, I'll tell her, send me a text message. Don't just tell me, send me a text message. And that way I can pop it open as I'm going through the grocery store and get this and get this and get this. Because we need that kind of help on the face of this earth because we have this terrible problem. We are called human beings. Hallelujah. And human beings have a tendency to forget. And so God is writing or is telling the children of Israel, and then Moses is writing it down, and God is telling them, now, after you have occupied the land, if you will, this morning, after you've moved into the land, you're eating the fruit of the land, you're being blessed in the land, beware, lest you forget the Lord your God, lest you forget how you got to where you're at. Lest you forget that it was the hand of the Lord that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Lest you forget it was the hand of the Lord that's given you the power to conquer this land. Lest you, in other words, the tendency of mankind is to forget what God's done and start thinking that he has done it. Man begins to look what I have done. Look what I have gained. Look what I have accomplished. Instead of saying, look what the Lord has accomplished. Look what the Lord has given to me. Look how the Lord has blessed me. Man's tendency is to begin to take the credit for what God is actually doing in their lives. When that begins to transpire, then that's when man starts a downward spiral. Because that's pride. Pride is simply putting yourself before God. That's just a simple definition of pride. You know, we like to think of pride as some big, ugly thing, but it's not a big, ugly thing. It's just the simplicity of being forgetful. The simplicity of being forgetful of God. And God needs the glory. God gets the honor. God gets the praise. A tendency that has happened among the church world is that men want the praise for what God has done. And when men begin to want the praise for what God has done, you mark it down, they will fall. They will fall. When they start presenting themselves, hang on with me here, as the perfect example, that's when they will fall. Because there is no perfection this side of heaven. There is a pursuit of it. Hallelujah. And there must be a continual offering up of thanksgiving and praise and giving glory and honor unto God. Because for any ground that has been gained and any battle that has been won and any victory that has been wrought, it was because the hand of God was upon our life and we listened to God as he led us through the battle that we were in so we could get on the other side and find the victory. And so we can't stand up and say, I've got the victory. No, I received the victory from the God of heaven as he directed my path. Hallelujah. And so tie a string around your finger because it is the natural tendency for us to forget what God has done. When we hit a place in our lives of progress, sometimes we'll forget what God has done. We'll think, this road is easy. And we'll begin to neglect our honor, our respect, our worship, our praise unto God. And that's when we will begin to rise up and begin to direct our own paths instead of acknowledging him in all of our ways so that he can direct our paths. We've got to beware. I realize we're living in New Testament times. I realize we have a greater advantage than the children of Israel really ever had. Because we have the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of our sin. And if we sin, that we can confess our sin. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and keep us on the upward way. But what happens if we neglect God is we neglect also to confess our sins. If we begin to neglect God and not honor God and respect God and put God in his position in our hearts and in our minds, we begin to look at our lives as we're doing good when we're really doing bad. We pat ourselves on the back because we have accomplished things in our lives, but yet we neglect the things we have not yet accomplished in our lives. And we hit this position in this place of danger. It's a dangerous place to be there. And so this is why I'm preaching this morning, tie a string around your finger, because we need to continually remind ourselves of that it's God. It's God working. It's God doing. It's God's mercy. It's God's grace. It's God's power. It's God's wisdom. It's God working in me. It's God working in you. And I'm maintaining an availability and accessibility to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. And I don't reach a plateau of where I think I know more than God. You might think it's strange that I make that statement, but brothers and sisters, we get there sometimes if we will stop and think and remember. Those times when we think we know more than God is those times we don't understand why God has done what he's done, and we get mad at God. Don't raise your hand, but anybody in here ever been mad at God? Of course you have. You're human. You're human. But is there any validity to being mad at God? Of course there's not. Of course there's not. Because when you're praising God and worshiping God and thanking God and realizing God is greater than all things and his wisdom so far supersedes any thought that I could have, you're not going to be mad at God. You're going to be thankful God has mercy on you for your nonsense. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Tie a string around your finger, and if you're one of those that gets mad at God all the time, tie one around all four. Hallelujah. And then when you start getting mad, raise them up and just start worshiping God and see those strings right there. Praise God. So you'll remember that it's God who give you your breath. It's God who brought you salvation. It's God that'll take you through any trial that comes your way. Without him, we're lost. We're nothing. And so the magnifying of God is the remembering of God and the acknowledging God of all my ways. You see, if I don't acknowledge him as God in my situation will conquer me. It will drive me to emotions that I really don't want to have. Because I'm not acknowledging God as the director of my past. I'm acknowledging myself as my director, and I don't like the way it's going. It amazes me, and to me it's kind of humorous, and we've all done it. We get mad at God because things aren't going the way I want them to go. And then ask yourself this question, what did you ask God if that's the way you needed to go? We always get mad when things go wrong, and we forget so quickly the reason it went wrong is because we did not inquire of the Lord for the path we took. And it produced things we didn't like. And then so sad, so many times we want to turn around and blame God. When it was I who neglected to acknowledge him. Tie a string around your finger that you may not forget. Psalms 127 verses 1 and 2 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. The psalmist is telling us that if God is not put first and in whatever situation you're doing, it's in vain. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And it won't work out the way you want it to work out. And it doesn't do any good to stay up late, rise up early, and do the best you can to try to make it happen. It's not going to happen unless the Lord builds a house. Lest the Lord keeps the city, unless the Lord directs your life. Woo! Tie a string around your finger. Psalms 44 and 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast favor unto them. Speaking of the children of Israel and the reason they were able to possess the land, you realize and you remember what happened to those who were filled with fear, doubt, and unbelief. They perished in the wilderness. They wandered there 40 years and they all perished, and the only original two that got to go into the land of Canaan was Joshua and Caleb. We know that story well. We speak about it often. Hallelujah. But the reality of that scenario is they did not forget God. They had a string tied around their finger, and they knew that their God would help them go forward and take the land, because why? He had promised it.
he had spoken it.
Wow. So sometimes it's not enough to just hear the word. What does the book of James tell us? He says you must become a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Because what are we doing? We're deceiving ourselves. We're being forgetful hearers. That's some terminology that he uses. So tie that string around your finger to realize that all good things come from above. All good things come from the Lord. And my life directed by him, yeah, it may have trials. It's going to have troubles. It's going to have temptations. But that just means it's going to have victories. Hallelujah. When the Lord is in control and the Lord is directing my path, it can only lead to victory in my life. Hallelujah. And so that's what we want to always remember when we're facing the troubles, when we're facing the trials, when we're facing the situations, that my hope is in him. It's a lively hope. We've talked about that. It's a lively hope because it is working in me to point me to him, to call on his name so that he can have access to the situation. Let me just throw this in here. There's a lot of times situations arise. We just expect God to do something about it. That's not the proper procedure. That is no more than a spoiled brat. God says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. What am I doing when I start? I'm acknowledging him in the situation. I'm asking him, you know, what happened to Joshua at Ai when he didn't inquire of the Lord, and he just expected God to do the same thing at Ai that he did in Jericho, and he marched right on down there and was defeated. Do not just expect God to jump in your scenario. You better make sure you're asking God to be with you every day. Because you know not when scenarios will arise, but if God is with you, when they arise, he can direct you. So tie that string around your finger and not forget that it is God that will take you through anything that you'll face on the face of this earth. Any trial, any temptation, anything, God can take you and I through it if we have the string around our finger and we acknowledge him in the situation. And what I mean by acknowledging him, that we're asking his for direction from him. When a temptation comes, if you automatically go to Jesus Christ, say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What are you going to do? But you see, most of the time when temptation comes, we move away from the Lord, and for whatever reason, we think we can conquer. Even though we've never conquered before. And instead of running to the Master and calling on his name, did you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Did you know all powers given unto him in heaven and in earth? And did you know that you can be filled with the power of heaven? Wow. Woo, hallelujah. You know these things? Praise God. You better tie a string around your finger lest you forget. Hallelujah. See, that's where victories are found, is when I realize where my power's at. I realize where my strength is at. I realize how I can overcome. And we quote it all the time, but yet use it so little. Through Christ, I can do all things. We love to quote that scripture when we're telling someone else they can do something. But that's not being a doer of the word, is it? That's a giver of the word. Hallelujah. That's not even a hearer of the word. That's a giver of the word. It's so easy to give it to somebody else. Why? Because we know it's true. It's God's word. It's truth. But then yet, why do we neglect it so often in our own personal lives? When it comes time to call on that power, we just, I can't. Isn't it amazing as you watch little children and you ask them to do something and you know they don't want to do it? And what is their first response? I can't. I asked Weston just yesterday, and he didn't say I can. I just asked him if he'd share a tater tot with me. He goes, no. Because he'd already been talking about how he was starving, how he was so hungry, and he was afraid there wasn't going to be enough. So I just waited, and he didn't eat them all, so I got some later anyway. But you know, that's how we are sometimes, like little children. I can't. No. You need any help?
No.
Oh, really? That's funny. I need it all the time. We all do. We need the help of heaven. We need the help of God. We need the prayers of the saints. Hallelujah. And so I've got to move on this morning about tying a string around your finger to help us remember. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. Trusting in the Lord, our confidence in God. Remember, it's all about God and what He can do and how He can work in my heart and in my life. 2 Peter 3:1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, Old Testament prophets, and of the commandment of us apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter, wanting to stir up the remembrance of the believers, judgment is coming. Don't think that it's not. Don't listen to the scoffers. Who are the scoffers? They are the individuals who do not want to serve God. They do not want to acknowledge God. They do not want to seek God for direction. They're saying there's no God. Many of them say that. You know, we've encountered atheists. We realize atheists believe there is a God. They just want to deny Him. Because if they really didn't believe, and I said this the other night, if they really didn't believe there was a God, they wouldn't be up spouting it off. They'd say, what's the use? There's no God. We don't need to talk about it. No, they're arguing the whole thing, so that lets me know they believe there's a God. They're just trying to prove He's not there. Sometimes we do that. We're hurt. We try to deny that we're hurt. We try to prove that it's not hurt. Yeah. Oh, I'm okay. Yeah. No, I'm fine. Yeah. I didn't hurt myself. I'm doing great. Hello. These scoffers, the last days. Once again, the holy prophets spoke what's going to be like. People are going to be forgetful. They're going to want to forget God. They don't want to retain the knowledge of God in their minds. They are willingly ignorant. That's an atheist. Willingly ignorant of what actually science portrays and tells us. Hallelujah. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. We could be here for a long time. But the reality is the Bible says this is the way it's going to get. This is the way it's going to be. Nobody wants to acknowledge God, wants to leave God out of everything and expect things to be okay. You see, that's why America's ripe for revival, because that's exactly where they're at. Is they have pushed God out of everything, and now everything is in total chaos. And the only thing that can correct it is if they'll bring God back in. and acknowledge Him as God and begin to follow His commands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we see then, tie a string around your finger lest you make the mistake of forgetting and not acknowledging God, because judgment is coming. He judged the world already once. See, they want to deny that, you know, because they don't want to believe there was a worldwide flood. Because then that makes us accountable to God for our actions, because if He judged the world already once, well, that means He's the judge of the world. And so we're accountable to Him, and so not wanting to be accountable to God, they say, well, that didn't happen. No. There was a big bang. Happened millions and millions and millions of years ago. And so you see, that's why they want to create theories that take God out of the picture, because otherwise they have to acknowledge they're accountable to this God. You and I realize God created all things. Hallelujah. We don't have to tie a string around our finger, I don't think, to remember God's created all things. Sometimes the finite things of God's Word and the truths of God's Word, we'll forget about them in the midst of life. I'm going to close here with Psalms 103. Lindsay read some of this already this morning. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And she's already expounded to us, that's putting Him where He belongs. That's giving Him the honor that He is due, just because He's God. That makes my day go better. Hallelujah. When I will get up in the morning and bless the Lord, O my soul. When I will acknowledge Him and put Him as the director of this day. Hallelujah. Oh, I've still got my work to do. I've still got my school to be attending to and teach. I've still got projects that's got to be done. I've still got busyness on top of busyness. But I want to make sure that God's right in the middle of my busyness. Whew, hallelujah. Because then my busyness turns into productivity. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Amen. And that's just verse 1. Glory to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Why do you serve the Lord? Number 1, He's God. He's the creator of all things. I'm accountable unto Him. And number 2, there are no greater benefits on the face of the earth than serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Wow. I mean, even when I don't acknowledge Him sometimes and I find myself in a mess, here comes mercy. Here comes His loving kindness, His compassion. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. I think we're all doing pretty good. Amen. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Feeds you well so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Hallelujah. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. There are times that our actions bring anger to the Lord. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, but this is where grace and mercy kick in, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, as far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth, here we go, He remembereth that we are dust. You know, dirt's profitable, but dust is just annoying, is it not? You turn around, it's on the coffee table. It's on the table. It's on the shelves. Dust. You walk into our work area and you walk out, and what do you get? Dust. Dust from the door of the rec room to the kitchen, because that's where we were working. Dust. And dust is annoying. Woo! We are but annoying. We are but dust. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field. So he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Hallelujah. To such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. To do them. Not just saying that's good preaching. Oh, isn't that good from the word of God? That do them. That strive to do them. That fear him. See, that's the key factor there. Those that fear, they may make mistakes. They may sin against God. But because they fear God, they come back to him. And they know of his mercy and they know of his grace. But I want to encourage you to know of his power. Hallelujah. And don't forget what he can do when we will call on his name and we will invite him into our circumstances and in our situations and in our trials and in our temptations. We'll invite him in. Hallelujah. I remember a message that Brother Jason preached several years ago, and he just entitled it, I'm with him. I'm with him. When the enemy comes and starts trying to deceive and starts trying to bring doubt and fear and unbelief, hallelujah, just say, I'm with him, speaking of Jesus Christ. And I read just a little story the other day of someone that was talking to an individual, and it was a young child that had just gotten saved and rejoicing in their salvation, and an older person asked him, well, you know, what are you going to do if the devil comes knocking at your door and trying to get you to turn away? And the little child stood there and said, well, first of all, I'm going to send Jesus to the door. And then whatever happens then, that's what I'll do. Whew. Yeah, see, it's a matter of who you know. Hallelujah. I'm with him. I belong to him. Hallelujah. I'm not my own. See, there's benefits to that child of God. Hallelujah. That means that power of heaven, that power of authority, that umbrella of authority, I'm with him. Hallelujah. When the storms begin to raise and I'm underneath of the Lord Jesus Christ and his power and his authority, when I place myself there, I invite him into my circumstance. Hallelujah. It's kind of like Pilgrim's Progress when he was in the Slough of Despond. He's thrashing and thriving and trying to get out, and he can't get out. And he just simply says, help! And all of a sudden, here comes a man on the scene. Who was it? Well, it was help. He had thrashed there for hours trying to get out of it on his own until he finally called for help. And help come right on the scene, reached out, pulled him right out of the Slough of Despond. Wow. How many times have you been there thrashing, trying to get out of it because you wouldn't call for help? Hallelujah. Tie a string around your finger. You can call for help. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Sister Pepper, you can come back to the piano this morning. Here's a story of a journey. We'll start out right here. It says, at one point in the journey, the teacher asked me, how would you name this road that you're on? So we're taking this journey. And I replied, the rocky road. Then as the terrain changed, he asked again, and now what would you call this road? I call this road the sandy road. This went on throughout the journey. Every time there was a dramatic change in scenery, There was no shortage of names I gave it. The winding road, the open road, the valley road, the treacherous road, the dark road, on and on until we reached our destination. Every time I asked you what you would call the road, said the teacher, you came up with a name based on what the road looked like and how it felt. And many roads are so named, but in the Holy Land, it's different. The most famous roads in Zion are not named for what they look like or feel like, nor on their condition. Instead, they have names like the road to Bethlehem, the Damascus Road, the Emmaus Road, the Jericho Road. So the most famous roads of Zion are named for places. Not just places, but their destinations. Their names come not from what they look like, but where they take you. This is the secret of the roads of Zion, said the teacher. So too, in the journey of your life, you will find the road to be at times rocky, smooth, harder, easier, dangerous, pleasant, unbearable, joyful. But you must never make the mistake of judging your road or your life by what it looks like or feels like. A pleasant road may lead to a cliff, and a hard and rocky road may lead to the holy city. An easy way may lead to hell, and a hard way may lead to the blessing and eternal life. Always look to the end of your course, to where it's taking you. If you're on the right road, don't get discouraged by the terrain. Never give up. Keep pressing forward to your destination, because it is the end that matters the most. And your road and the journey of your life will not be known by its terrain, but by the place to which it brought you. Take your eyes off your circumstances and focus only on your destination. Press on to the good, the highest, and the heavenly. The good road, the high road, the heavenly road. Tie a string around your finger so that you'll not get overcome by the circumstances of life and the things that life brings your way. And always remember, you're on the good road, you're on the high road, you're on the heavenly road. Hallelujah. And the benefits that come from traveling these roads with the Lord Jesus Christ leading the way. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God, for the proverbial string around our finger, reminding us, O Lord God, of all your benefits, reminding us of your power, reminding us, O Lord God, of our insufficiency and how sufficient you are, God of heaven, Lord, to worship you in the beauty of holiness. Lord, to give all, Lord God, all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind, Lord God, to love you. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, Lord, and then to be conformed to your image, to love my neighbor as myself, to esteem others greater than myself. Oh, God of heaven, fulfilling, Lord God, the desires of heaven. Lord, as we walk the face of this earth, with a string tied around our finger to keep our minds set upon things above, to know that our help comes from above. God of heaven, we worship you, we praise you, we adore you. Thank you, O God, for what you're doing in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, and the Holy Ghost. Let's come around the altars here this morning. Let's close with a time of prayer, a time of worship. Hallelujah. And let's proverbial tie that string around our finger good and tight this morning. Hallelujah. And to know the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my power. The Lord is my wisdom. Hallelujah.
where